Discussion.
By chance, I have indeed. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks very much for inviting me to this interesting conference. And apologies for being a bit late. It was just too seductive to walk around a little bit outside, as I was studying just across the road, indeed, at the Biological Department of Hanover University. Now, today I work for a philanthropic foundation here in Germany, in Essen, based in the Ruhr Valley, that initiates and funds a diverse array of projects in order to support the energy transition, mainly here in Germany. So don't expect a scientific talk, please, just to manage expectations up front. You would have noted anyway very quickly. But I just want to share some observations I make from my current position, which is basically observing different trends and developments and discourses in the different domains of the, you know, of society, in policy, in the business sector, and in civil society. And I want to take the transformation, the necessary transformation of our transportation system, as an example, to discuss a few implications, perhaps, for innovation policy. How does that work? The green one? Green one? The other green one? Huh? Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Okay, how do I go back? Oh, gosh, technology. That's, here we go. So here's the problem. Or the challenge, whatever you like to call it. It's a great photo, I think, taken by my colleague Christian Hochfeld from Agora Energiewende, from Agora Verkehrswende, which is a think tank we established here in Germany, in Berlin. They are based in order to move forward the transportation in Germany, the transportation transition in Germany. And he calls it traffic Tetris. I think that's pretty much to the point. It's actually taken from his former office in Beijing. And I think many people would agree that that really is not a very smart or healthy way of organizing transport. So we all know the impacts or externalities, as the economists would say, of this noise, pollution, climate change, leading to health impacts, stress, fatalities. Now, there are multiple forces acting already that put a lot of pressure on the transport system to be changed, many of this being the very externalities caused by the way we organized transport for many years. And I don't want to go through them all, but there are many issues that put pressure on that system to be changed. Technology push, new market entrants, new technologies that come in, changing consumer behavior, and so on. And, of course, climate change. That is the perspective that we come from, basically, into this whole mix. And in fact, the transportation sector is really key to delivering on the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement from 2015. Now, here's the task for us all. We gotta transform transport nightmare into a transport dream. And in transport dream, citizens have the freedom to choose, you know, from a large variety of many clean energy transport options. They spend time with their family and friends rather than in traffic jams, thanks to pooled and automated cars and efficient electrified public transport. They don't waste time searching for parking. They breathe cleaner air, can worry less about greenhouse gas emissions, and can trust that transport is safer, more efficient, and actually more accessible than ever before. You can also picture this transformation like our colleague Emory Lovins does, who says this transformation is one from pigs to seals, from pigs, personal internal combustion, gasoline, steel-dominated vehicles, to seals. And they look much cuter, of course. Shared electric, autonomous, lightweight service vehicles. Now, that's what I call a transformation, and that obviously does not only apply to cars. Now, what does that mean, this kind of transformation? There are four streams of innovation, I would say, four major streams of innovation. Others call them revolutions, really, which can bring us to transport dream. Electrification, automation, there's pooling and sharing. And finally, the interlinking of all the different modes into a connected mobility service system. Now, the tricky thing is, unfolding of these different streams of innovation will not automatically deliver transport dream, because they can also lead us into a very different form of transportation nightmare. Take just the example of autonomous vehicles. If they are not shared, and if they are not integrated into multimodal use, and they idle in searching for parking or substitute for public transport or non-motorized transport, traffic and emissions can actually go up and increase from automated cars and other automated vehicles. So only together, these four streams of innovations will deliver the significant greenhouse gas reductions needed and the ability to reclaim public space in cities and so on and so forth. So from my point of view, there are at least those three reasons why I'm convinced that we need the state for increasing the likelihood that that transformation will turn into our transportation dream scenario. The first one really is time constrained. I mean, we need to accelerate this whole system innovation as compared to previous transport transitions exactly because of climate change. It does make a difference whether we can do this in like 3 decades or in 7 decades, let's say. And there's no reason to believe that the market will fix that for us, right? Because the inertia of the current system is just too big and supported by too powerful incumbent interests that are interested in preserving the status quo. Secondly, directionality. As I just said, we have to direct this kind of transformation towards the best public good outcome, meaning transport must become cleaner and it must become safer and fairer, all of which will not be delivered if we just leave it to the market, as very current and recent experiences show. And third, there's a huge coordination or interconnection task, which I just termed innovation nexus, which I just referred to, which means that we need to harness the synergies of these four different pillars or streams of innovation, because only together they will deliver our dream scenario. And there's no single market actor who has sufficient incentive to pursue this altogether. So I think there are many things we could discuss here, and I just want to briefly mention three aspects that, from my observation, fall short of getting the necessary attention in the current transformation and innovation discourse, but which are crucial, I believe, to facilitate innovations for the transport transformation to come through. First one is about learning and experimentation. Now it's obvious that what I just described is a huge learning process in which no single actor has the capacity, the legitimacy, the power, the resources to plan or steer this kind of transformation through. It's a highly unpredictable process, many insecurities, uncertainties, obviously, and a collective learning process across different sectors of society. Now, I'm worried that we don't have the right learning settings yet. I guess everybody in this room is familiar with the concept of the Reallabor, or real-world laboratory, or living labs, or whatever you call them, which are generally good in intention, but from my perspective and observation, actually not real-world, as they are, A, mostly put in pretty artificial settings, and B, almost exclusively have a very high technology focus. So basically, you put new technologies in an otherwise unchanged environment, and that, from my perspective, has only limited value. So what we need instead, I would argue, is our rooms for real experimentation, for example, in an urban setting, where for the time of the experiment, the current regulatory regime can be changed, meaning that you've, for example, try new fiscal policy measures, because transport dream actually will require radically new thinking about financing of our transportation system, for example. But also other regulatory interventions, like temporary suspensions of particular laws that hinder that kinds of transformation, like the Passenger Transport Act and other things. Only then, I believe, it will be possible to really learn about the connected, automated, and shared mobility. And I'm actually very happy to see that the Federal Research Ministry has just issued a call for these kind of real-world laboratories for sustainable mobility, following on from a stakeholder process that we initiated and funded. So really interested to see what's coming in there. Second, and very importantly, we need to pay more attention to the demand side, and thus, from my perspective, broaden the innovation policy perspective. This transformation is still mainly discussed as a technological transformation in most settings, electrification, automation, or great technologies. But the real challenge here, I would argue, is the adoption of these technologies or their diffusion of these technical into innovations into society. I think we have to understand that this is fundamentally, as was just mentioned, a socio-technical system that we need to develop here and treat it as such, because mobility is so deeply embedded in cultural meanings, in preferences, in consumption patterns, and actually narratives that preserve the status quo of mobility. Past transitions, I think, confirm what I just said, and actually very recent experiences from different global markets also show that it's much more, for example, than financial incentives that we need in order to get electric cars adopted in society, exactly because of this deep societal embedding I just talked about. And because simply we do not act as purely economic rational beings, in particular not in mobility. With us, got to prepare the social environment, I would say, for the diffusion of transport information. And I'd really be interested in discussing what the state and other actors may be able to do to support that. The real life kind of experimentation settings I just mentioned could be one of those answers, but there may be more. On the research side, let me mention that, because it's really important. In order to handle that kind of transformation, there's also still a lot of data-driven research really needed, because basically we don't know anything. If you look at the data for Germany, for example, it's really embarrassing. Basically, we don't understand at all why people move the way they do and why they choose which kind of transportation mode. And obviously, it doesn't help that all the interesting data sit with Google and Facebook and others, but are not in the public domain. So that's just one further thought. And thirdly, I really want to mention that because I see many people, in particular in the policy domain, kind of obsessed with innovation, which also is fancy and interesting, of getting the new stuff into the system. But it's not sufficient from my experience. And we should not only focus on that question, how the new stuff gets into a current regime, but also how does the old stuff get out? How do we get rid of all those pics I was just depicting there, right? So we see, just as an example, we see that dramatically that this kind of discourse is extremely needed. For example, if you look at the electricity sector in Germany for the last couple of years, where we were very successful in ramping up the capacity, the renewable energy capacity in Germany, but that didn't have any significant climate and greenhouse gas reduction effects because we still had too much coal in the system. So the innovation or the positive impact of the innovations can only unfold if we also take care of getting the old stuff out. And I don't think we have good governance examples just now on how to manage that kind of innovation in ways that bring us onto the right path, if I consider Transport Dream here the right path, without probably causing too much stress to the current regime, which probably would likely lead to severe political setbacks. Now, let me leave it here and just really emphasize my main take-home message, that I think that kind of transformation we're talking here, and the transport transformation was just one of those examples, is much more about governance and societal innovations than it is about technological innovations. And I don't think that is appreciated enough in the current innovation policy design and discourse. Thanks very much.